success is not luck. You know, success is preparation, perseverance, commitment, and a plan, all meeting at the same crossroads at the same place. And timing all of that together and scaling all that together to meet at that crossroads at the same place and then keep it over time, that takes work. So hard work certainly matters.
Welcome to the Law Talk Podcast, where we break down what it takes to succeed at the business of law without sacrificing the life you want. The first season is devoted on increasing value in every case, while also living a life that provides happiness, purpose, and roots that run deep. Before we dive in, a little background. Hollis Wright & Clay is a law firm based in Birmingham, Alabama, with 10 seasoned trial lawyers on staff, a firm built on experience, excellence, and decades of incredible results. With that, we welcome in the managing partner of Hollis Wright & Clay, Josh Wright. Josh Wright, good to see you.
Good to see you too. Hope you're doing great.
Doing well. Looking forward to our discussion over these next few weeks.
I'm looking forward to working with you on this thing.
That's always fun. There's an importance, and I think a lesson there, in working with people that you enjoy working with. Yeah. I think that's one of your tenets. We'll learn more about that later. But let's start at the end, if you will. So for 25 years, Hollis Wright has been rolling. The focus of the show is really increasing case values, but also balancing that living a happier life as an attorney. But first, let's talk about the firm today and a little background about how you got here.
Yeah, so, you know, Hollis Wright, as you mentioned, has been around for 25 years. I think the practice has really thrived over the last 15 years. David, one of the things that people ask me all the time, you know, what is it about Hollis Wright that is kind of uniquely different than the other things we see through marketing and advertising or in the verdicts and results that we have? What's different about you guys? And, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with the team that we have in place. This is the, and I mean, I say this not lightly, this is the best team that we have ever had in place of lawyers and staff members from top to bottom, whether it's a assistant all the way up to the managing partner of our law firm. The team in place is incredible. And, you know, we're a thriving practice in the Birmingham area, but we practice law all over the country. We've got cases in states that, you don't even think about in our mass tort practice. And so, you know, I felt like now was a good time to try a different form of communicating with our audience, and that's really kind of why we're here today, me and you, right, starting this podcast, which I think has great potential.
So a quarter century, that's a nice record of performance, a great deal to learn from that. You talk about the best team you've ever had. In this podcast and in this first season, one of the things I know that's important to you is to pull back the curtain a little bit, because while you all are successful now, it's not, it has not been a straight line. It has not been the easiest of road, has it?
No, not at all. And in fact, you know, I think in life and in the practice of law and in running a business, you learn more from the failures and the mistakes and the missteps than you do in the successes, right? Everyone handles success well, because things are going in a great direction. It is, how do you manage yourself in circumstances where, for example, you may have had a marketing idea that went the wrong direction, or you got into a case or a series of cases that went in the wrong direction, and how do you evaluate and digest and assess that, and then use that to be stronger and bigger and better down the road? And so it hasn't been super easy along the way, but what we have in place now is a culmination of 25 years of learned experiences to be a better law firm.
Right, and I know one of the things that we're gonna do is go back to whenever this law firm just began and you were just starting as an attorney. There is this saying that I love. It is, oftentimes the best way to know what you do want is by getting what you don't want.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, the 25 years of experience doing that. Finish this sentence for me, if you will. Hollis Wright Clay is successful because?
Continuity. We have been one of the driving forces behind starting this law firm 25 years ago to today has been finding a way to build a model for a law firm that is uniquely different. When I went to law school, people went to law firms and transferred four or five times to different firms, whether they were a lawyer or they were a staff member. People just transferred all the time. And I thought, you know, David, there is a way to do this where people can build a legacy at a single law firm and they can provide for their family all along the way. And we can be a team and a family together. And I believe that continuity is the answer to that. Now, how you get to continuity and how you keep people around and you don't lose staff members and you don't lose lawyers is the secret sauce, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. And we can talk and unwrap that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, continuity is the key to our success over the last 25 years is keeping people. We have four people in the next 2 years that will hit 20 years at our law firm. That says a lot about the law firm.
Yeah. I'm curious, because I know the continuity does matter to you. I also know that you are an individual. You are not afraid of the truth. Good, bad, ugly. You want the facts, and then you can deal with it. Is that a learned behavior, or is that just who you are as a person? Because I think learning from mistakes, that there are those, and especially the more successful you get, the more individuals surround you who want something from you and could tell you just what you want to hear to stay on your good side. So is it a learned behavior to accept those realities and the truth? Why X did not work, but also why something else did work?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, the way I would answer that, honestly, is this. I'm a big believer, and I don't know if it's innate in me or it's the way that I was raised. I embrace, you know, mistake. I embrace failure, and I'm not embarrassed by it because I really do believe, kind of like we talked about early in the show, I think that drives, you know, you as an individual. It gives you a human side to recognize, show some vulnerability. Hey, look, we made a mistake here, but don't quit on us. We're going to be better tomorrow than we are today. So embracing failures, embracing mistakes has always been a part of my DNA, and I don't think that'll ever change. And what's happened and what I've learned about showing a little vulnerability to our lawyers around here and being willing to admit, hey, here are some things we can do better than we have in the past for our clients or in our marketing efforts. What I've learned is that builds real relationship, right? When you show vulnerability to a younger mm-hmm. associate, they're like, all right, hold on, this person is human. He's not just the managing partner of our law firm. He's a human being that recognizes he makes mistakes too. So if I make a mistake, I'm gonna embrace that, but we're going to talk about it and we're going to learn from it. We're going to be better. So I do think that embracing change, embracing mistakes to try and be a better law firm down the road for the families that we have here at this firm, but also for the clients that we represent is a huge component to answer that question.
So I know that one aspect of this firm, we're about to head to break, but I want to leave this here and then we'll head to break. But one of the aspects of this firm that gets a great deal of credit is the marketing aspects of this firm. Some risks you all have taken that have had brilliant results. Let's talk about that because it seems like that would really help you all stand out in a crowded space. There are a lot of attorneys, so how do you stand out in that space? Let's get to that after the break. But as we head to break, a reminder, hollis-wright.com is where all of the links that you need for this podcast and a lot of background on who Josh is and more about the firm. But also there are ways for you to help us out. And we can't make this podcast succeed without your help. So there'll be ways you can subscribe on whatever platform you use, whether you're watching, whether you're listening, however you are digesting this podcast. We'd love you to subscribe and help us succeed because we can only do it with your help. We're going to take a break. More of the podcast coming up, Law Talk Podcast, right after this break.
The firm's motto is your result matters. And we mean that sincerely. Hollis Wright handles cases every day for those at their lowest point and will do whatever it takes to get the result you deserve. At Hollis Wright, your result matters.
Hollis Wright has been handling workplace injury cases for years. If you've been injured on the job, give us a call. Our attorneys are standing by right now to give you a free consultation. And remember, at Hollis Wright, your result matters.
Welcome back in to the Law Talk Podcast. David Lim here with Josh Wright, managing partner of law firm Hollis Wright here in Birmingham, Alabama. When we left the conversation, talking about standing out in a crowded space, and there are a lot of attorneys, okay? You watch TV, you drive around, walk around, wherever you are, there seems to be no shortage of attorneys. So how do you stand out in such a crowded space, and how have you all, because you do, you all, Hollis Wright stands out in a very crowded space, and you've done so creatively. How have you pulled that off?
Yeah, so, you know, I'd say this, David, it not only is it a crowded space that we all know, it's a confused space, mm-hmm. right? A lot of times you see advertisements on television or through print media or on the internet where there are certain representations that are made related to the services that are being provided that will confuse the general individual looking for a lawyer. And, you know, do you want a big firm? Do you need a multi-gigantic firm across the country? Mm-hmm. Do you need someone that's local that knows the courthouses and knows the judges? It's a difficult decision to make. And what I would submit is what has allowed our effort to be successful over the years and to separate ourselves and distinguish ourselves has been a couple things. One is, you know, we teach this from the top down. Bedside manner matters, right? Not just in the world of medicine. It matters in the legal world too. And what does that mean? It means we listen twice as much as we speak. It means that if you call us, text us, or email us, you're going to get a response, right? Mm-hmm. The biggest complaint the Bar Association gets, and the biggest complaint that people that need a lawyer or that have a lawyer have, is that my lawyer's too busy to communicate with me. Mm-hmm. And David, that's a problem, right? If I can't communicate with the person that has a question about their case, even if it's just give me an update, mm-hmm. I've got a staff that can do that. I can do that. And so bedside manner matters.
Can I ask you real quick, yeah. because I have a feeling mm-hmm. the attorneys listening, especially the younger attorneys, yeah. are going, I'm overwhelmed. I can't, how can I live a life and my phone is blown up? Yeah. So how do you manage that?
I look at it long term.
Okay.
The greatest source of clients this firm has ever had has not been the many marketing efforts, I know we're going to get into those mm-hmm. in other shows, has not been the television advertising or the TV show or even the podcast, right? It has been from repeat clients that want to come back to your law firm because they enjoyed the experience they had with you. And so I want a client not only to have a good experience to say, I picked the right lawyer on the front end. Mm-hmm. On the back end, I want them to provide a great Google review. I want to know their family. I want to know them individually. And I want them to refer their next door neighbor, their family member that needs help down the road back to us. That has always been, in any great successful law firm, you're going to find that repeat clients mm-hmm. matter. So to answer your question, I look at it as a future benefit that I'm going to build a relationship with that person. I'm going to find the time to communicate with that person. And here's the other thing. In today's technology world, you know, sometimes people are overwhelmed, or they have a hearing, or they're writing a brief, whatever. You have time to send a text to a client. I can't get to you right now, but I'll call you on Monday. If you need something urgently, will you please call my staff member? You got time for that.
And I know this is also in helping you all stand out, maximizing the value of cases.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, the way I describe that is this. We hire litigators. We don't hire lawyers that want to manage a lawsuit all the way up to trial and then fear having to try the case. Mm-hmm. We're hiring lawyers that are going to do one of two things at the end of the case. They are either going to try the case because the value has not been appropriately offered in the case, or they are going to try that case, right? Mm-hmm. And so maximizing the value means that we've got to have a reputation known as litigators that actually go to the courtroom and try those cases. And for the first 15 years of my practice, I tried enough cases where people recognize, hey, he'll try a case if we don't pay full value. And that has allowed me, and by the way, that's a trick of the trade, mm-hmm. that's allowed me to be able to resolve more cases today than I used to. Doesn't mean we don't try cases, because we do. But maximizing the value, David, means that we're going to do whatever's necessary to get that case prepared for trial. And if we're not getting maximum value for that client, we're going to try that case. Mm-hmm. And because defense lawyers, because insurance companies recognize that we try cases consistently and we have a great team of litigators, they pay fair and accurate value in those cases.
So that's a bit of how Hollis Wright, this firm, developed, yeah. grew, and got here. I'm curious about how you got here, as where you sit now, managing partner of this growing, exciting, successful yeah. law firm. But where did it begin, and how did you get here?
You know, certainly you can't underestimate the amount of hard work that's necessary to build a firm to the stature of where Hollis Wright is today. You know, success, and I tell people this all the time when they ask questions about our firm and kind of where we got there, especially young lawyers, success is not luck. You know, success is preparation, perseverance, commitment, and a plan all meeting at the same crossroads at the same place. And timing all of that together and scaling all that together to meet at that crossroads at the same place and then keep it over time, that takes work. So hard work certainly matters, no question. You know, and then what I would argue on top of that is you've got to immerse yourself in the practice of law. If you want to be successful as a lawyer or you want to have a law firm that has success, you know, I don't just go to CLE so that I can go to the beach and hang out at the beach mm-hmm. and go to dinners and have fun with my family. I'm going to CLEs. I'm learning. I'm always learning and always immersing myself in the practice of law, going to watch someone else do an opening argument, buying a transcript of a closing argument of a successful case of a lawyer that I've never heard of before that obviously did something right in his closing argument mm-hmm. and getting that transcript brought in and then reviewing it. You have to immerse yourself in the practice of law in order to be successful. So I would argue hard work, immersing yourself, and then surrounding yourself, David, with smarter people than you. That's cliche, and people talk about it all the time. We really do it here. I have lawyers at this law firm that are smarter than I am legally in the way that they advocate cases, and I'm good with that. And let me tell you why. It drives me individually to be a better lawyer tomorrow than I am today, and it allows me not to get complacent. And that is a great thing, and I love having those guys around here.
Mm-hmm. Let's take our final break of this show. When we come back, just want to touch a little bit on, you started the firm in 2001, how advertising looks different today versus when you started the firm, because that's an important part. We're stepping aside. More of the Law Talk podcast coming up.
The attorneys, proudly sponsored by the law firm of Hollis Wright, are here to serve you.
When we started the show in 2011, my goal was to do what our firm does best: help people answer questions related to real-world legal issues they have in their lives in a way that's not intimidating to talk with a lawyer. If the issue is important to you, it's equally important to us, and we're ready to talk with you at no cost.
Yeah, oftentimes people are confronting various legal issues in their lives that really run the gamut of a lot of different legal practice areas, such as bankruptcy, criminal law, civil law, such as personal injury, divorces, domestic relations. And to be able to have a show once a week that covers those practice areas and answers people's questions in those areas, that's really the main objective of the show.
We use the resources of the many lawyers at our law firm to create a plan that has a lasting impact for each person that calls or texts. And we also give back to the community at the same time. We are here to serve you, the viewer, each week on The Attorneys.
Welcome back in to the Law Talk podcast. David Lamb here, joined by Josh Wright, managing partner of Hollis Wright. You've seen things, as they say. 2001 is when this firm... You started this firm began. I'm just curious how advertising has changed from 2001 to where we are today, because it seems like in those 20 plus years, there's been a dramatic shift.
So obviously we're going to do some shows in the future about marketing efforts that have worked and what hasn't worked. Advertising has changed a lot, as to your point.
Right.
Originally what it was everyone was marketing to referral sources, and there was very limited advertising on television, and lawyers were all receiving cases through either direct intakes from someone and then referring it out or handling it themselves.
Right.
And so it went from that to what we have today, which is a very crowded space. I do think there are going to be some changes made in lawyer advertising over the next decade. But it's changed, and we've changed with it, and we've had to evolve. And so where we are today from a marketing perspective is not where we were 25 years ago, but I like where we are today. Mm-hmm. What I tell people all the time when they ask about, hey, you do so much marketing in these areas, you know, how did you know how to do that?
Right.
Well, part of it is trial and error, right, of what works and what doesn't work. The other thing is, I think you have to have a plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what you want is, you want to have some marketing plan, whatever it is. If you have limited advertising dollars, and I know we'll talk about this and we'll kind of tease the next mm-hmm. show, but if you have limited advertising dollars, you can make those go a long way and still have a plan to market and get cases in an inexpensive way. And so we're going to talk about some of that in the future.
As an observer, it seems two things that this firm does very well. One is you are not afraid to fail.
Yeah.
You will try things, and if it doesn't work, it is like you guys just move on.
Yep.
You know? And I think that bravery, I think if you do have limited dollars, I don't want to waste the money, but you all do not operate out of a place of fear. But also, how important is it to advertise and market from who you are versus just what you think will work? Because you all advertise and market yourselves in a way that is consistent with what you all are all about.
Yeah, and that is a great point, and I think it's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this. There was a time 15 years ago, we did not want to be the law firm that was the direct solicitor in your face on television.
Right.
Now, we've evolved too, and we've had to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so what we said is, hey, look, let's start a television show, and let's have it on every Sunday night. Let's allow viewers to call and ask legal questions, and let's address legal topics, and let's bring new referring lawyers on every single week. And we'll be the professors on television as opposed to the direct solicitors on television. You know what? That was our first toe in the water.
Right.
How do we have a plan to market and find a way to build relationships with referring lawyers and get business down the road? And so, David, honestly, that's how it all started. Now, it's evolved
mm-hmm.
into direct advertising, and we've evolved as times have changed. But that was us, right? 15 years ago,
mm-hmm.
we were more the professors. We were younger, aggressive, hungry, and how do we find a creative way to market and build referring lawyer relationships and maybe get some cases along the way? And so we did what we do mm-hmm. as opposed to what everyone else was doing at the time.
Right. I've been a part of that television show. The television show has now been on for how long? 15 years?
14.
14 yep. years. Hundreds and hundreds of shows.
Yeah. I think you and I did show 500 together.
We did. We've done a bunch of them together. And every show, you say something. You say to the viewers, we return every call and we return every text
yep.
and every email. You and Natalie, how long have you and Natalie been married?
Almost 22 years.
Okay, you have
yep.
three children.
Yep.
How do you return every email, return every call,
yep.
return every text, and still have a personal life?
You know, I had a law school professor, my very first law school professor, that taught me one of the most important lessons that I could have ever learned. I won't mention him directly, but just he knows he's out there, and he taught me an important lesson, and that was about compartmentalizing your life. He had a nervous breakdown while he was a law school professor, had been through a really tough relationship, and had a really low moment that impacted his ability still to teach for a period of time.
Right.
Rather than be embarrassed by that, he used it as a teaching lesson for young lawyers that were in law school. And I've never forgotten the message, which is, if you can't turn off law when you get home, if you can't have a normal personal life, you're going to end up like me. Mm-hmm. And it is a great message. Yes. So what I would respond to your question with is compartmentalizing. If you talk to my friends that I hang out with on a daily, weekly basis, travel with, we don't ever talk law. And I'm not saying that works for everybody. Some people, they're only friends with lawyers. There's nothing wrong with that. Right. You do you, right? But for me, I'm able to compartmentalize, turn it off. I don't go home and talk about the things going on in our practice. I don't go home and talk about our clients. And I don't do it with my friends. I compartmentalize, I can shut it off, and it's time to go coach a baseball team. It is time to go be a good husband and a loyal father, right? It's time to do things outside. And it goes back to this concept, I think, also, that I want to leave folks consuming these podcasts with, and I learned this a long time ago from my dad, and that is that in life you are either going to work your life to live, or you're going to live your life to work. It's a subtle difference, but it's super important. And that is, I choose the former, which is, I am going to go through life and I'm going to use work as the conduit by which I'm able to live the life that I want to live. That doesn't mean we don't work hard around here. We work very hard around here. But I'm not going to wake up every morning and focus on, I'm going to work for the next 40 years. That's just not who I am and how I'm wired. So I'm going to do everything I can to be able to work the life that I want to have. And part of that is just compartmentalizing.
Yeah. I'm not an attorney, have never been an attorney, but that's good advice for whatever profession, whatever your profession, you can get so deep into it where you don't have life. Let's leave it there, but I do want to get you just an opportunity for those who are joining us today. Final two or three thoughts to leave them with.
you know, I think when I started the practice of law, I thought I wanted to be a lawyer because I was going to change the world. And I've learned a really important concept about that, and that is, don't focus on trying to change the world. Focus on trying to change the life of someone, maybe one client at a time. And that is changing the world, right? And it's a smaller micro analysis of how you can change the world. Mm-hmm. The second thing is, I wanted to be the best. We all say, I want to be the best. I want to be the best lawyer. I want to be the best trial lawyer. I want to be the best law firm manager that markets in the world to go get cases. You don't have to chase the best. Chase the best version of you, right? We've heard that before,
right?
But it means something. Chase the best version of who you are. Wake up every day focused on, you know, for me, I'm not going to work. I'm going to have fun. I love practicing law and I love managing this law firm. It's never work. And so I'm chasing the best version of Josh Wright that I possibly can to be a great partner to my partners and a managing director of this law firm. And a lawyer at the same time. And so those are two things I think that people hear, but over 25 years of practice, I've learned that if you just twist it a little bit and you take the same concept of conquering the world or being the best, and you just change the perspective and the paradigm just a little bit, it makes a little bit more sense, and it makes your day a lot easier as a lawyer.
It's good stuff, Josh Wright. Good stuff. Let's do it again next week.
Let's do it. Looking forward to it.
We really appreciate everyone who's joining us, and we need your help to spread the word. Hollis-Wright.com. That's the firm's website. And again, it has links to the shows. We'd love you to subscribe and share however you are hearing, downloading, subscribe, whatever platform you prefer. It's only through your help that this show can reach those who really need to hear it. And we really appreciate that. And that would mean the world to us if you could just subscribe. Thanks so much for listening to the Law Talk podcast, and we'll see you next time. Have a great day.